Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today on Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. We are continuing our evaluation and our look at the book, The Courage to be Protestant. We're evaluating this book this week, looking really at the first two chapters of this wonderful assessment and the layout of the evangelical world. Again, the book is The Courage to be Protestant by David Wells, Truth Lovers, Marketers, and Emergence in the Postmodern World. And there he really does outline three sort of constituencies that make up evangelical Christianity. And he started yesterday with looking at classical evangelicalism. Classical evangelicalism, something that he says really took shape after World War II, really there was a focus on doctrinal seriousness. Every Sunday you could walk into a pulpit, you would hear truth expounded, you would hear doctrine proclaimed. That arises particularly out of a text that was exposited from the Bible. The authority of Scripture was central. Christ's penal substitution, his sacrifice on the cross was a focus of the message. Being biblical in context was crucial. But what began to happen, says Wells, is number one, that doctrine began to shrink. People began to lose the capacity to think doctrinally. Ignorance of biblical truth became commonplace. Christianity was reduced to a private internal therapeutic experience. And then he says the second major downfall of classical evangelicalism, things that began to happen, was that the church began to vanish. Business entrepreneurs became leaders in the church. You had the rise of parachurch organizations. And the real thing was that anything that felt churchy had to be lost. Nothing could feel churchy, even the architecture. All that had to be removed, and the point was, even the churches disappeared. Many churches themselves became parachurch organizations and not churches. So that we looked at the evaluated classical evangelicalism. Second, Wells moved on to the marketers. The great question of, as Hybels and Rick Warren were concerned with, how to do church at Willow Creek Community Church. It was copied all over America, where they had seminars on how best to be successful as strategies were borrowed from the corporate world to market the message. There was a market. You could utilize marketing techniques and entertainment formats to reach the unchurched, as they were said. There was a formula for success. Churches would smell of coffee and espresso bars with edgy music, all as well said to please, entice, entertain, relax, and grab the person, enfold the potential customers. The marketers? Well, the boomers. With their contemporary music focus, which really was 70s and 80s music, because Wells says rap and heavy metal would not be cool, there was a casual atmosphere. Loud music and short services, orthodoxy, doctrine, not being preached to, all of that sort of stuff was viewed as an impediment to success. People are bored with that, is the marketing mentality. They want something new. And so the greatest fear of the marketing megachurch today is the great claim that someone could be passé. And Wells made the case yesterday, and I thought very compelling, that the sun has set on this movement. Well, then he says, what happens? What happens when, let me use the example he gives. He says you can use this example It's not unlike the way fashion migrates socially and then loses its attraction. He says devotees of hip-hop culture, for example, are set apart by their get-ups, their tattoos, their piercings, their jewelry, their hoodies, off-kilter baseball caps, and pants that look like they were made by a drunken tailor. But what happens when the middle class, or worse yet, the middle-aged, also begin to sport tattoos on their sagging skin? Let their pants sag halfway down their thighs and sport hoodies as well? The answer, of course, is that the youth culture has a legitimate complaint. They've been robbed. Their distinctiveness has been lost. Their cachet on the street has been diminished. It is time for them to move on fashion-wise. So it is here. When the evangelical world became Willow Creek-ized, the sun began to set on Willow Creek. Its cachet went down the tubes. If Willow Creek could not move on fashion-wise, others, not quite so wed to its particular mode of doing things, could. And so it has happened. And then he goes on to say, you know, the news has not reached as many ears as it needs to that the sun has set on this experiment. There are always scragglers, he says. There are always those trying to stay up with the latest fads. I always think some particular churches are 20 years behind and they don't realize it. But anyways, the new group that has arisen is the younger generation that their parents tried to be hip and cool and they felt robbed. What has come out? The emergent church. In the 1990s, a loose coalition of churches that came together, they were all about conversation. On the web, particularly, and all about deconstruction. They were skeptical, and they are skeptical of power and authority and structures. They're clear on what they are against, but not really what they're for. They're against Willow Creek. This is very ironic that you have a younger generation that has arisen up, and the parents can't figure it out. Their boomers can't figure it out why their kids aren't responding. But They're against Willow Creek. They're against the marketing stuff, really, because people get lost in that huge megachurch marketing setting. They lose a sense of personal connectedness. These are postmodern Gen Xers and the millennials. So they have a different understanding of the authority and the function of Scripture that has emerged. It's looser and less definitive. Like the post-liberals, they think it's edgy, though it is already passed in the academic world. This is what Wells is outlining here when he outlines the emergent church movement. They are doctrinal minimalists. Salvation is in community. They refuse to make judgment on private behavior. They want to be open. They, of course, like candlelights and ancient liturgies, and they want the mysterious back in Christianity. They're looking for spirituality in things. And so they have adventures in worship, the recovery of everything that is mysterious. So there you see it. You see some sort of shift taking place with the emergent church in reaction to what the boomers are attracted to in the marketing technique of Christianity. Well, Wells moves on here. And he moves into at the lay of the evangelical land as he outlines that lay. One thing he says, before I move on, is I want to quote this here on page 19. There have been just too many instances of obnoxious empire building going on. Too much in evangelicalism that is partisan and small. Too much pandering to seekers and too much adaptation of the Christian message until little remains. Too many of its leaders have been disgraced. There have been too many venal television preachers. There are too many of the born again who show no signs of regenerate life. For many people, the word evangelical has become a synonym for what is trite, superficial, and money grubbing, a byword for what has gone wrong with Protestantism. Isn't that true? That is so important. We have brought the bad press on ourselves. How do we define ourselves? Well, Wells makes the case that historic Protestants is a good way to classify those who have any sort of doctrinal conviction anymore. Well, he moves on to, in his second chapter, entitles it Christianity for Sale. Thank you, corporate America. The mass experiment in how to do church differently, that's the great concern. New generations of people have come. The traditional church is like a product now rendered obsolete. They're disregarding their customers is the thought. Customers are sovereign. We need to be relevant, relevant in what we say and do. And so everyone is thinking like a corporate CEO. In 2000, there was, and he gives an example of this, there was an innovative, one-of-a-kind conference where all these pastors and churches met to take on and learn Disney approved approaches to ministry, strategies and techniques used at Disney World to ensure customer loyalty in the church. The National Association of Evangelicals in 2001 had a big conference called Marketing 101, where they recovered marketing hints from corporate giants to take their churches to the next level. Looking for spiritual experience, not prepackaged dogma, says Wells. Church is the place where sermons shouldn't be boring, but uplifting, not preachy and condemning. After all, who wants to be condemned anyway, says Wells. Very, very common approach. And so, what is the result? All questions of truth are cut loose. You have so minimalized the Christian message that there isn't much Christianity to define. And that's one of the great consequences of the ministry of Joel Osteen, is that you can't even really call it heresy because there's no content to it. It's just motivational speaking, couched in Christian terms, I suppose, if there are any. This is, my friends, a very sad dilemma. I raise this on Abounding Grace not to scoff, but to mourn and lament the horrible state of evangelical Christianity. What has happened? Why are we embarrassed about a message that is the power of God to save those who believe? A message that the apostle said is foolishness to the world. He didn't come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. He didn't come with all the gimmicks of the world. He came with a message, yes, that is foolishness, but has the power to save from eternal hell. What we need is a recovery of Christ-centered, gospel-centered, biblical expositional preaching in this land. And then we will see the kind of results that are genuine, sincere, and lasting.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com. Find out a bit more about us. Take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.